Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, East Campus. How are we doing this morning? With that kind of worship, we have to be doing good. I love it. I love coming to the house of God, and I love that the presence of God changes any old building. And this is a pretty great one. I am based out of the South Campus, and I've come to, and then I kind of rotate through the campuses. And when South Campus first started, we were in a little theater, and it was so cramped. I came here, and I'm like, this is amazing. What a great place to begin. So well done, East Campus. Give each other a high five. Take a seat. And thank you, wonderful worship team. My gosh, how good was that? Were you just like ushered into the presence of heaven? Like heaven could come to earth anytime. You just begin to worship him, and they do such a great job. So thank you so much. Thank you. And oh my goodness, I'm so happy to be here. It's such an honor. Like Pastor Lisa said, I've been here at C3 since the beginning. I came right at the end of the first year, came onto staff the second year, and I've just been here ever since. So it's so fun growing with a church. There's something beautiful about coming to a church and getting planted and actually getting to see not only your own life change in incredible ways, but the people around you. So I remember first meeting Michael and Lisa before they were married, when they were dating, and I got to watch their whole story unfold, and it's amazing. And, you know, we wouldn't all be here today if it wasn't for Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, who came from Australia, allowed God to put a dream in their heart, and you and I are sitting in a dream that was dreamed. Like, how cool is that we are part of a vision that God had for this city, but drop that in the lives of Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, and then we get to be a part of it. So we are just so blessed. So I just want to thank your campus pastors. They are magnificent. Michael and Lisa, let's give them a round of applause. And the beautiful team. Church doesn't happen without team. And it's so true, like what they said, if you're like, oh my gosh, I need to make friends, or I'm a little bit lonely, I need to connect with people, the best way that you can do that is get on a team. When you're doing stuff with people and you're working close with people, you can't help but get to know them. And there's some really great people here. So, but we're going to have a great time this morning. I'm just going to open up in prayer, and then we are going to get right into it. God, oh God, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you, Jesus, that you are already present in this place, present for the miraculous, present for victory, Father. Lord, I just thank you that every person that is here is not here by accident or by chance, but by divine appointment. So God, we would say, have your way in this place. Have your way in our hearts, oh God. I pray that every word that I speak today would not be my word, but would be your word spoken through me, oh God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for the testimonies and the miracles that will come out of this place, oh Father, as we receive of you this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Amen, amen, amen. The title of my message this morning is called Faith in the Middle. Faith in the Middle. And I'm going to open up with this scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, it says this. That is why we never give up. Just remember that. We never give up. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. How amazing is that scripture verse? When I was asked to speak here, I immediately, my heart was filled with just faith. And I'm so excited to preach to you and minister to you a message that's called Faith in the Middle, because I don't know about you, but kind of the beginning of something is exciting and fun. it's like a dream has dropped in your heart, or you thought about that house that you were going to own, or that like dreaming dreams. If you lay in your bed at night and you want to dream, like it doesn't take a whole lot to just lie there and dream. Like it's exciting. And then, you know, you kind of go through the process. And then at the end, when you're actually receiving the promise, you're receiving the gift, like it's happened. It's celebration time, baby. Like it's so exciting. But I find that I have lived most of my life, not so much in the beginning of the thing and not in the end of a thing, but in the middle. That's why I titled this message, Faith in the Middle. I believe there is a fight for faith in the middle of our journey, in the middle of our circumstances. And, you know, we're just going to have a real interactive time together, if that's okay with you. I am both Italian and Jewish heritage, which means that I talk really fast and I am very expressive. I know no other way to be. And so I'm going to throw a lot at you, like, really quick, but we're going to have a fun time. Is that okay? All right. So, you know, my life has kind of been a series of that, a series of the unexpected, a series of walking out a journey, and all of a sudden, it's like my life takes all these twists and turns. All these things start to happen. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I don't know about you, but I remember just waking up one day going, what? Like, this is my life? Like, it wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what I thought about when I was a kid. And I'm like, what? What is this? And I feel like a lot of us kind of, we do that. If we take stock of our life, all of a sudden we're like, how did I get here? Or maybe we're living our lives in what looks like a contradiction. I'm believing for a promise, but it hasn't happened yet. I know that it's there, but I'm on the journey. And so this kind of is a series, like my life is a series of these events. And so I remember actually, this is so funny. So I'm just going to tell you some stories. Is that okay? So when I first, my family, we are originally from New York, and then we moved to Ecuador when I was 11 years old, and we became missionaries to Ecuador. And I had to learn an entirely new language, a whole new culture. Yo hablo español. That helps me in South Campus. I speak Spanish and English. And so I had to learn an entirely new culture, new language, all of that kind of thing. And then I came back to the U.S., and I went to college, and then I moved here to San Diego, and I'm going to tell you a bit about that story a little bit later. But when I was here in San Diego, after everything had gone wrong, I had like this job, and it was my first like career job. And so I was so pumped on life. I'm like, all right, it's my career job. Like I have arrived. And I was in sales, and my boss, my manager, kind of went out with me and, you know, just did all the training and everything. And finally, it was my first day to go out by myself. And they had given me a company car. So, I mean, I was in my 20s. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Like I have a company car. I've got this career job. I'm so pumped. I got through the training. And it was my very first day. And so I kind of go out on the first day, and I'm meeting all the clients, and actually it was a really, really great successful day. So it's the end of the day, and I'm driving back to the office, and I'm on the 8 freeway. How many people know the 8 freeway? How many people know what the 8 freeway looks at 5 o'clock? Yeah, I was in that. So I am on the freeway, and I see like a truck ahead of me. There's cars on both sides of me. I'm just like pumped to get back to the office. And all of a sudden I see in the bed of the truck, these mattresses. And all of a sudden, one of the mattresses comes flying out of the truck in front of me. I'm like looking like to the left and to the right. And I'm like, I can't go anywhere or I'll hit a car. So this big, huge mattress smashes the front and the back end of my car. And I just hear that noise. And I'm like, oh my God, like, wait, it's a mattress. Like, this isn't like a pebble that came out. Like this is a mattress just hit my car, my company car. And so I'm like, oh no. So I drive to the side of the road and I get out and the mattress owner guy, I don't know. He gets out and so he's this young guy. And so we exchange information and I am sick to my stomach because the next call is to my boss. Like the back end of my car was smashed in from the mattress. That's how hard it hit. So I'm like, oh my goodness, like it's my very first day. And so I call my boss and I'm like, hey, I had a really great day. Made some sales, started, you know, kind of that side of it. And then I'm like, but here's the thing. I was driving and my car just got hit by a mattress. And he literally just stops, like stillness of voice. And he goes, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm okay. And he goes, I need you to come straight to the office, go upstairs, and we'll meet with myself and my dad. Now, his dad was the owner of the company.
I was like, great, I just got fired on my very first day. Awesome. So I am freaking out. I drive to the office. I get there. I'm like, first day is going to be my last day. And so I walk on up to the office, and the dad and the son, the manager, both are, come sit down, Stacy, tell me what happened. So I tell them what happened. And then the dad looks over at me and he goes, well, I am just so glad that you are okay. He goes, because the exact same thing happened to my wife. And I'm like, what do you mean the exact same thing? Like, how many mattresses are flying out of trucks on a freeway? The exact same thing? I've never heard of this in my life. And so he goes, oh yeah. He goes, but not only did my wife get hit by a mattress, but she didn't pull over to the side of the road. And what she didn't know was that the mattress has gotten hooked on the back of her car and she was dragging it down the freeway. Guys, this is a true story. And so then he goes, so she's right. And there's people on the side going, stop, stop. And she's just looking at them like, what is wrong with you? And she keeps driving until all of a sudden there's smoke and there's a fire because the mattress is dragging on the freeway. And so people are like, pull over, pull over. So finally she smells the smoke. She looks and sees fire in the back. She's like, oh my goodness. So she pulls over. She gets out of her car, gets just a little bit down, and her entire car blows up. He goes, so when I say, I'm glad you're okay, I mean it. How many of us, sometimes we kind of live our life like we're driving down the freeway of life and all of a sudden the mattress hits. And it's, for me, a physical mattress, but for others, it's just the situations of life. It's circumstances. It's things that we never thought of. All of a sudden, there's a loss in the family, or I didn't get the job I thought I was going to get, or I didn't get into the school that I thought I was going to get into. And all of these circumstances just start happening, and we're kind of left with, what just happened? I was just going down the freeway of my life. Like, how did this happen to me? And I just want to speak to those situations and to those seasons of our life to let you know that it's time for us to fight for faith in the middle of our journey. God does have a destination for us, and it's a good one. And he wants to get us there, but sometimes the unexpected happens. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how to have faith in the middle. Point number one is this: don't turn back. Don't turn back. I've made a decision in my life that when I encountered Jesus for the first time, I decided that encounter with Jesus was so significant, the presence of God was so significant, that I went, you know what? Whatever happens, I believe Jesus to be true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to challenge us today to not make this a goal in life, but actually make this a resolve. See, because a goal is something that you really try hard to keep. Like, we have New Year's resolutions and goals, which we generally keep for the first day. And so our Christianity, our walk with Jesus, can't be like that. It's not meant to be like that. It's a forever kind of a thing. And so I made a decision in my life. My goal isn't to follow Jesus. My resolve, I will live by the principle. I will live by the fact that I know that he is the truth regardless of what happens. So this morning, let's make a resolve in our hearts that come hell or high water, no matter what mattresses hit the story of our life, I'm going to stick with Jesus. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Like, God has a different perspective. He knows the end from the beginning. We're in the middle. And so when he sees from a different perspective, he knows all the nuances. He knows all those things that are going to happen in our life. And he's going, just stick with me. Just stay with me. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, 12. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. God designed us. He created us. He knows. He didn't just dream us up and then leave it at birth. Well, they're born on planet Earth. Well done, me. Like, he's got an entire plan. He didn't just picture you at birth. He pictured you through your whole life. And his whole goal, his heart is for us to be in relationship with him forever, even into eternity. And so I just began to realize, like, I may not always understand the things of God, but I've just made a determination that I'll stick with him. And here's the thing. I just began to think about, what's the alternative? What is the alternative? A situation hits my life, pain hits my life. What am I going to do? Because we do one of two things. We turn to faith, or the opposite of faith, which is fear. And here's the thing. Faith is confidence, conviction, truth, belief, allegiance, assurance, dependence. So the dictionary says. It's what the Bible says too. And then there's fear, distrust, doubt, uncertainty, anxious, anticipation of danger. I don't know about you, but I do not want to live a life anticipating danger. I want to anticipate hope. I want to anticipate faith. I want to anticipate a dream that's beyond me and what I could imagine. I at this point of my life now, looking back, I can't imagine the alternative. To be riddled with fear, to wake up and to look at the future and not know in our hearts that it's going to be bright regardless of whatever it is we're facing. And I know that that can be a very real reality, but it doesn't have to be, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we don't get it, and sometimes you might be like me. Like, sometimes I'm like, but I did everything right. Not everything. We all have stories, right? But, you know, I'm like, I've tried really hard, like, to do things well and to do things right. I was born into a Christian home. I have walked with Jesus. But what I found in my life is that I don't get a pass. I don't all of a sudden get, you know what, Stacy, you're doing things right. You get no tests in life. You get no pain. I'm not even going to test your faithfulness. Like, faithfulness is tested in pain. Faithfulness is tested when things don't go our way. To be faithful is that when things don't happen the way we think they're going to, that's when we need to be faithful. That's how faith works. And so I began to think that we either lie on that side of like, well, I did everything right. Why is this happening to me? Or we're on the other side where we're engulfed in sin and the destruction that sin brings. But I found that the answer to both those questions is found in the Word of God. I found that it's actually in the stories of the Bible that Jesus put there for us, the stories of Job, the stories of Simon, the stories of Jesus. Those are real life testimonies of a different pattern, of a different way that we can live a life of faith. And so, you know, if you think about it, like Job, like, are you kidding me right now? The man did everything right. That's what the Bible says. He was pure before the sight of God. Like, none of us can even say that, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Job, he was a pretty good guy. But he did everything right. And the Bible says he was handed to the devil by God. So we're sitting here going, but I did everything right. And we don't know that the devil has asked for us. See, Job didn't know the end of his story. We read it in the Bible. We're privy to the end of the story. We're like, Job, it's going to be fine. Like, you're going to get double for your trouble. You're going to get extra faith. You're going to get all these things. But he has no idea. All he knows is I've done right in the eyes of God, and hell has come for me. All he knows is that all these things are happening. The worst of the worst has happened to Job, except for death. And the Bible says, and yet, Job said, will I praise thee? Yet will I worship you. Like, what a guy. Like, this is someone to emulate, to go, okay, in the face of disaster, yet God is still true. He's still real, and we're to follow him. In Simon, with Luke 22, 31 through 32, it says this. Simon, Simon, again, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. It's a rough ask. And Jesus says, but I have prayed for you. How good is our God? He's on the winning team. He's praying for us. So he's like, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. He's like, Simon, the devil has asked for you, but I'm praying for you. You're going to be all right. And in fact, this isn't just going to be your story of strength and faith, but it's your brothers, it's your neighbors. So go out and strengthen them too. It's going to be all right. I love it. Even Jesus himself was led into the wilderness, the Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're blaming God for what he has led us to. And this is the revelation that I had, because I thought, how could that be? How could we be led sometimes into what looks like to us the worst of the worst? And I began to think on Jesus, and I began to realize that we may be focused on the result. We may be focused on the end goal or the promise, but I found this, that God's focus is us. It's our relationship with Him. That in our time of need and crisis and all of these things, that we turn to God and we don't run from Him. And it's not that these things are just conjured up to just give us pain in our life. We live in a fallen world. It's not the perfect story. It wasn't the way it was meant to be. Thank you, Adam and Eve. I'm just kidding. Did you get that? One day, I'm like, Adam, Eve, help a sister out. Like, what happened? The garden would have been perfect, but that's not where we live. It happened. We live in a fallen world, but God is so wonderful that He's like, I just want, the Bible says that He is with us even to the end of the ages. He's such a good God. So I believe that in our fight, we have to make a decision to not turn back. Point number two, be content. Choose joy while contending. Be content while contending. So there is a fight of faith. And the Bible doesn't promise us rainbows, lollipops, and clouds to walk on every day. It says there will be trials and there will be tribulations, but He is with us. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now note that He says the lack of hope makes us sick, not the delay of a promise. It's not the delayed thing. It's not the thing that we've been believing. It's not the circumstance, not the situation. It's the hope. We can never let hope die. The Bible says if we let hope die, it will literally make us sick. And so I found the antidote to keeping our faith alive is joy. And that, and hope to stand in a place to go, you know what? It's been about, this thing has been rough, but I'm going to stand on the side of hope. I'm going to believe God regardless, whether I see it on this side of eternity or not. I'm going to go out swinging. I'd rather live my whole entire life in a place of hope and joy just because situations and circumstances and things haven't happened the way I thought they were going to. I'd still rather stand in a place of hope, in a healthy life, believing in the goodness of God. Are you with me? God is able. It says in Ephesians 3:20 through 21, it says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works with us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we ever think or could dream of. And the Bible and God doesn't deny the fact that real pain enters our life or our world. In 1 Timothy 6:12, He says, fight the good fight of faith to take hold of eternal life, which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What is He doing? He's reminding us the day that we encounter Jesus, the fight began. The day that we encounter Jesus was the day that we made a decision. I will place all my confidence in my God, and I'll fight the good fight of faith. And I find that we have to contend for it. And the Bible, you know, talks about, you know, when we are crushed in spirit, when we have grief in our life, He's so beautiful, He comes straight to us. The Bible says that He is, that when we are weary, He is made strong within us. He says that God comforts those who mourn, Matthew 5:4, that He saves those that are crushed in spirit. So it's not a denial of our pain, but it's simply placing that pain before the arms of Jesus. And I found this in my life that's really helped me, is that when the mattress of life hits, when, you know, the things happen in our life, I found that when that pain comes in, that I can just stop for a moment and go, God, minister to me. It's not a denial. It's not a wall that we build. It's actually a vulnerability of openness to go, God, I give You access. It really happened, and it's hurtful and it's painful, but minister to me now. And God is so good. He will come in and He will do what He only knows how to do, which is healing, miracles, signs, wonders, faith, hope, love. That is the kind of God that He is. T.D. Jakes says this, every great leader will be tested by pain. Nobody escapes, no matter how anointed, talented, or gifted you are. You only win if you don't quit. You only win if you don't quit. So when we're in the middle of the faith journey, when we're in the middle of the battle, we just got to make a decision. Dig our heels in the sand. We are not going back. We are going forward. And we'll see the promises of God. And you may think, well, Stacey, that's fine. You were born a Christian. You were basically birthed with a Bible in your hand. And, you know, that's the story of your life. But what I found was that I didn't get that pass. I was born into a beautiful family. I have a beautiful Christian family. But life happened to me, too. You know, and I remember, when I first had graduated college, I had come back to the U.S. and I was graduating from a college in Virginia, and I prayed, and I remember just asking God, like, what do you have for me? Like, what's my next step? And I just began to pray that prayer, and every time I prayed, God would say San Diego. Now, I thought that was really funny because I had never been to San Diego in my life, and I didn't have one single soul of a friend in San Diego. So for me, San Diego was like, why San Diego? And, you know, I have a healthy self-esteem, but I'm not Malibu Barbie. So I was like, you know, like, I'm not all about the weather and the beach. Like, I'd be fine in, you know, the winter. Like, that's not a thing for me. And so, you know, I had only been here one time when I was 7. It was on the way to Disneyland. I mean, that was my only reference. And so I didn't know why. God just kept saying San Diego, San Diego. But when I was graduating college, I kind of sought wisdom of the leadership around me. And I called my family and I was like, I just can't let this go. I feel like my next step is San Diego. And so they kind of gave me the go ahead. And when you're going to make a decision like that, a big decision in your life, get some wisdom around you. And so I was moving here. I had nothing set up, you guys. I had like $1,000 in my pocket, which was a whole lot of money as a college student. And I had no job. I had no place to live. And I had never been here before. I met 3 other girls at the time that were going to be moving to San Diego, all different situations. We decided to join forces and caravan from Virginia to San Diego about 5 days after I graduated college. So I arrive on scene with nothing. We literally towed a truck. This is what I didn't tell the first service this. You guys get a little bit more. I don't know who agrees or how these people agree to it. We literally had a truck service. Like, I just thought, what do I need when I get to San Diego? A bed. Like, that would probably be good. So we all packed our beds, like, in a truck, and we convinced the truck driver that it would take him longer to get to San Diego than us. So we would give him an address in the middle of his journey because we actually didn't have a place we were going to. Like, we had never been here before. I don't advise any of this. Anyways, So he agreed. What kind of truck service is this? So he agrees, has no address of where he's going, has our beds in the back of his truck. And so we arrive here early. I arrive on scene, and I arrive to El Cajon. And I was like, whoa, this is San Diego? Like, so I was like, where is the beach and the palm trees and the... Anyways, and so I had moved here and didn't know anyone. And I am telling you, from that point forward, everything went wrong. Like, everything went wrong. We were living in not a hotel, a motel for a little while. So we had an address to give to the truck driver. And then we had to find a place to live. And I was going out for interviews and jobs. And I had just graduated college. So I was like, the world is my oyster. I was like a healthy self-esteem. I was like, everybody's going to, you know, want me. I graduated college. And then I'm like, oh, my gosh. I was told I was either underqualified or overqualified, like in every avenue that I was trying. And I found myself one day literally like ends meet just trying to survive, and I am working at a call center, like timeshares. If you have ever done that in your life, God bless you, and I will pray for you that you will leave that place. And so I am there, and I'm like, God, what has happened? Why would you call me here? And I began to question, honestly, the call of my life. Like, God, I felt like ministry was in my, I felt like career, I felt like all these things that were going to happen in San Diego, and this is the worst of the worst. I am calling people, and some of them are not even alive, and I'm sitting next to a guy that is really smelly, and like, how did this happen to me? And so I'm kind of having it out with God, and then I call my dad, and my dad's an awesome dad. He's also a really great pastor, and so I like call him, and I'm expecting him to be dad, not pastor, and so I'm just like guessing. He'll be like, come, sweetheart, home. We have everything arranged for you. And so I call him and I kind of tell him what's going on. He goes, he kind of took off the dad hat and he put on the pastor hat. And I'm really glad that he did. He said this. He said, Stacy, did you hear from God when he told you San Diego? And I said, yes, I believe that I heard from God. He said, then you look at your darkest day and your darkest hour. Every hard day will be your greatest miracle. And I am telling you that I don't know what that did. Hope began to rise in my spirit. I began to believe those words, and I went, you know what? It looks really bleak right now. I don't know how any of this dream is meant to come to pass, but come hell or high water, I'm sticking in San Diego. And so I was like, oh my goodness. And so I just made a determination right then and there. No matter what happened, I wasn't going to thwart the calling of God because everything was difficult and hard. And I began to look at each day, and I began to prophesy the miraculous. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad I did, because I look on this side of all of these years later. And when I was, you know, in San Diego, I was looking for a church. I was looking for a spirit-filled church, and I couldn't find one. And I didn't know that God's intent for me was to help be the church. See, we don't know the plans and the goodness of God. We have to live our fight of faith in the middle. Can I get an amen? All right, I'm going to zip through this, you guys. Point number three. My last point, choose the right spirit, the spirit of faith. Choose the right spirit, the spirit of faith. This is what I began to understand. There is a spirit attached to faith, just like there is a spirit attached to fear. And you may be thinking, is that biblically accurate? Well, it is, and I will read the scriptures to you. Spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So with faith, we begin to speak and create a reality with God. There is a spirit of faith, and it comes from Jesus. He has beautiful gifts for us. One of them is called the gift of faith. That's a spirit that we can tap into. But there is also the spirit of fear. And in 2 Timothy, it says this, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. He has not given us a spirit of fear. See, Jesus cannot deal out a spirit of fear because fear is not in him. He only has faith to give. So we've got to make a choice in our circumstances. When life happens, when mattresses hit, we've got to make a choice. Is it the spirit of faith that we're going to tap into, or is it the spirit of fear? And I've got to tell you this. The Bible actually tells us to test the spirit, to see whether it is faith or fear. The Bible says this in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I've got to tell you this. Don't let fear be your prophet. Don't let fear prophesy. Don't let fear tell you that your future is a nightmare. It's not. What does God say? God says we are the head and not the tail. He says that we are more than conquerors. He says that we are victorious. He says that in our weakness, it is his strength. There is a spirit for us to tap into. I found that most of my life I'm left with choices, a choice to choose faith or a choice to choose fear. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be left in a place of uncertainty, doubt, and fear. I have to step on to the side of faith, which is confidence in God, which is hope believing. And I would rather my whole life doing that. And God's so good. He actually wants the promises and the desires of our heart to come to pass. That's why he speaks them into our world. But in the in-between, we've got to wrestle that fight to the ground and be on the side of faith and not fear. And I've decided, you know, I kind of want, if I'm going to go out swinging, I kind of want the kind of faith that is the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of faith. How many people know that story in Daniel? How good is it? So Daniel 3:16 through 18, it says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply, and let me just set up the scene a little bit for you. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Australians say Abednego, I do not know which one it is anymore. I'm going to have to research this. Okay, so they're in a place where King Nebuchadnezzar is telling them to bow down and to worship him. And if they don't, Nebuchadnezzar is going to throw them into the fiery furnace. So they are faced with, I mean, I don't know that many of us are faced with life and death, but sometimes we are, and sometimes we're in the journey of that. But these people were, and their worship, their calling, who they are is being questioned. And what were they going to do? Were they going to bend a knee to fear or stand for Jesus? And then this is what the Bible says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar,
We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. That's some determination. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold that you have set up. How many people want that kind of faith? Even if you will not, I ain't bowing down. Even if I'm not seeing it today, and the Bible, just like I said in the earlier verses, this world is fleeting, it's but a moment. We've got an eternity reconciled to God. So in this moment, I'm not gonna bow to the place of fear, I'm gonna stand in the place of faith. Job, like you said, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How good is God? And I'll leave you with this. In Romans 8:28, it says this, and we know with great confidence, this is in the Amplified Version, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, do you know that God cares about us? He cares about the little and the big. He cares about the promises and the desires. He cares about the things that we're facing. So the Bible says that who is deeply concerned about us causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. If we are saved in this building today, there's a plan for our life. It's a good plan, a plan that's not meant to harm us, but to bring about a great purpose in our life. God is on our side. God is victorious. He's cheering us on. He's praying for us. And God's working, you know, only the God of miracles can work evil for good. When I look at some of the things that happen in my life, I'm like, that's straight evil. That's horrible. That's hurtful. And yet my God can turn that thing around into goodness. That is the goodness of God. Maybe it doesn't look like how I thought it was going to look, but it is the goodness of God in the land of the living. How good is our God? Why don't we close our eyes right now? I'm going to read out those verses that I read right at the beginning of my message. It says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, and just receive the words. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Faith lasts forever. Faith in the goodness of God. Faith in a hope that beyond what I see and what I'm looking at with my physical eyes, there is a place in God where I can have peace that surpasses all understanding. That in the midst of my circumstance, there is a peace that comes to me, and it comes from God. And this morning, I want to encourage us from today forward to live a life of faith, to fight the good fight of faith. We will never be sorry on the other side of eternity for going out with the hope in our heart, with joy in our spirit, with strength in our bones. And it's not about us trying harder. It's just receiving bigger of the goodness of God. Jesus is good. He's good. And this morning, if you're here and you haven't made the decision to give your whole life to Jesus, to put a line in the sand and say, you know what? There's been a lot of mattresses that hit my life. There's been a lot of things that have happened. But today I'm making a decision to invite the God of this universe on the inside of me. I'm going to receive Jesus this morning. If that is you, would you please raise your hands to the heavens? Because I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray that God will have a divine intervention today. And if you're making that decision today for the first time, awesome. Raise that hand right on high. And if you're making that decision for the thousandth time, deciding I'm going to give my whole life to Jesus, I'm going to renew that decision today. Would you raise up your hand real nice and high? And I'm just going to pray for us this morning. That's with faith believing.
I see that hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, God is in the business of turning bad things into good. Sir, God is going to change your life. It's going to shift this morning as you receive of Him today. Is there anybody else in this place? Would you lift your hand to heaven? Praise you, oh God. Thank you, oh Lord. And if your heart's beating real fast, that's just the Holy Spirit saying, go ahead and do it. All of us have at some point in our life, and actually we celebrate with one another. We're the family of Christ. So one more time, if that's you, just raise your hand to heaven, and we're going to pray together. Awesome. Let's all pray with this good man that has put his hand up, because the Bible say that when one hand goes up or when one person gives their life to Jesus, there is a party and a celebration in heaven. So there best be a party on earth. And so let's give a big clap to Jesus right now. We're going to pray together the prayer of salvation. And let's all pray it together, because we're not church attenders. We're a church family. And let's all declare the goodness of God as we receive Jesus with this good man right now. So let's begin to pray. Jesus, come on, let me hear you. Jesus, I thank you that you died on a cross to fill me with hope, to receive eternal life, to live a life beyond my wildest dreams and imagination. I receive you now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And from this day forward, I give my whole life to you. And I thank you that you will have it turn out good. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give an applause to Jesus. And now what I want to do is this. We've got just a minute left, and we'll use every moment of this service. So what I want us to do right now is I want to encourage us. I want to pray a prayer of declaration, of victory, of faith. I can speak this message so strongly because it's the life that I have lived. And you know what's great about that is it's transferable. So I want to pray a transforming prayer today. So if that's you and you want to receive, let's just all stand up. Let's lift our hands to the heavens. And I'm telling you, it's time for a God intervention in this place. I see faith already beginning to rise in this place. I see hope beginning to rise in this place. I see where there has been sorrow and a spirit of fear. I see joy coming back. God is faithful. His mercies are new every morning. God is so good to us. So I'm going to pray for each and every one of us now, and I just want us to engage with Jesus. All you need to do there in your seats is raise your hands to heaven and engage with Jesus, who died that you can be set free, liberated, and live a life of abundance. Not a mediocre life, not a life of survival, but a life that thrives in the name of Jesus. So God, oh God, Lord, I pray for every person that is here, oh Lord. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that you have given us a good fight to fight, Jesus. And I thank you right now that you are intervening, Lord, in situations, Lord, in circumstance, but more than anything, in the hearts of every person that is here. God, I pray right now that you would begin to minister. I see healing anointing coming into places that were dry and arid. I see places of hurt and pain, and I see God beginning to fill your spirit. I see where there was a crushing of spirit. I see God coming in. I see that there is a new day. There is a hope beyond what we could have imagined. I see the heavens opening over our lives right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for victory. I pray a victorious life for every person that is here. I thank you that mindsets are being changed, oh God, in accordance with your word, oh Father God, with your principles of truth, Jesus. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind and I break the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiousness, depression. You must bow your knee to the name of Jesus. I see liberation right now in this place. We bind that spirit. And right now, we receive of the goodness of God. Lord, we thank you right now for your presence to minister to us in this place, oh God. Lord, I thank you that our lives will never be the same again. Thank you, oh God. We receive of you this morning a faith injection, hope, and love. Thank you, oh Lord. We praise you in this place.
Can I hear an amen? Amen, amen, amen. Let's give an applause to Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.